This episode is brought to you by Fast Enterprises. Fast helps motor vehicle agencies serve the public by delivering enterprise modernization projects on time and on budget every time. Improve customer service and be ready for whatever the future brings. Give Fast a call at 1-877-ASK-FAST or visit us on the web at fastenterprises.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. This week, we have a return guest, the chair of our board, the head of the Colorado DMV, Mike Dixon. Mike, welcome back to the AnvaCast.
Well, thank you, Ian. Glad to be back with everybody.
So, folks, Mike is back to talk about a specific initiative that they've just reached a milestone for in Colorado, and it's an interesting project that we've seen a jurisdiction or two try to attempt over time. In Colorado, it's called Iconic Colorado, and it's been a public contest to design the next generation of their driver's licensing and identification cards. So we're going to talk to Mike, find out about why, how it's gone, and what's next. So, Mike, why don't you take us back to the beginning? Certainly, you had a design that seemed to be working fine. Where does the conversation start when someone says, it's time to design a new card, let alone the public contest? We'll come to that in a second. But tell us about what prompted the conversation that it was time to take a look at the design of the card.
Well, thanks, Ian. And our card redesign actually occurred not too many years ago, and we first got it back. We had really small font because we had to have all the items that were thought to be needed to be on the card. Mm. And so we produced that card, and over time we got a lot of complaints about it. It was just really hard to read the font. So we were working with law enforcement to get their input on what would they like to see made bigger on the font, and what could we actually maybe modify it on our, it's called the Perso on your card. And we had gotten a lot of good input from them. And then we had some executive directors change out, and then we had an administration change. And with the new administration, there was a we would figure we would want to change our font because we had plenty of support for that. And we presented that. And then there was a concept of the new administration's new branding. And so with the new branding came some new symbols that were different from the previous administration that would need to be changed on our card. So it made sense to do things at one time as opposed to do things piecemeal. And so we started, that was our starting point for how we started the process.
And so where does the idea of making it a public contest to help contribute to the design and the artwork, when does that idea pop into the conversation?
And that comes from a previous executive director. And she said that she served as a graphic design person while she worked her way through college. So obviously she had some experience in that. And then with our branding for the Colorado, Colorado is more than a destination. And it's something that must be experienced. And so in light of those and then the other things, there was just interest on the administration to launch a card with something different. And then she proposed over time as we started working through it and learning how the card redesign process worked, there's this idea of let's do something iconic Colorado. And that's the term that they used. The administration, the governor was like, he thought he was very excited about it. That was decided back in May of 2020, during the pandemic. And that's when we started all the effort to get organized to conduct the contest. We brought a lot of people along to say, this is the first time we've done this. We've never done this, and got them over that hurdle. And but I can explain more after that. But that's kind of where we got it going in back in May is when it actually got launched.
When you say get them over that hurdle, meaning internal folks who had never participated in something this widespread open, or was it the hurdle of the public engaging them, or a little bit of both, perhaps?
I think everybody that's been involved, our vendor, they weren't saying no, but they said, we've never done this before. This is interesting. We're not sure how it will work. And then our folks haven't done it either. It's like, okay, we've never gone through this process before. This is interesting. But everybody thought the idea was a great idea, but it's like, how would you make it work? And but once they got their heads wrapped around it, everybody was full steam ahead. And it took us from May to August to get everything organized. And then August was we officially started the contest. And but it was pretty interesting to see. A lot of excitement, a lot of hard work, some great work from our communications team that really led the effort with the outreach.
Sure. You say all the way from May to August. That doesn't sound like a very long time at all to launch quite a large, full-scale public initiative like this. So I think that's great that you were able to move so quickly on that. So you launched it in August. Public response, yes, folks are into it. No, they're not so sure. You know, what was the temperature check early on when you first announced that you want the public in a very open, widespread way to maybe send along their ideas?
Yeah, everybody was unsure what would happen. Is there going to be interest out there? And there was efforts out there to reach out to the artist community. And
oh, nice.
We had that outreach. But frankly, the submissions were not as large as we would have wanted in September. It took us kind of slow on the go. But people were just taking their time to do it. You know, it takes a while to get picked photographs of things and you pick the right time and all that type of stuff. So.
Sure.
And then as we looked at that, we had the Office of Economic Development and International Trade, OEDA, actually offered to provide a grant or an award for the winners, $500 for the front and $500 for the back. And so we made that announcement. We extended the contest further. We came up with 407 submissions total from 119 entrants. So we had quite a few folks that did contribute. That was 280 for the front and 127 for the back. And so that was pretty exciting to see that kind of interest.
Yeah, it's a great interest. Did you provide them requirements or criteria that they had to fit within or goals that you were hoping the entries would reach? Or was it more an open-ended, you know, send us what you think would look good?
That's a good question. I thought we shouldn't go with photographs at first because when you put them on a card, it rarely resembles the cool picture of a mountain scene. But the artistry work can be modified. So I was a little bit concerned about the expectations would not be met. But there was also the idea that you could turn in some art, which we had. One of the things was an artist rendition of some buffalo on the plains. So it was photographs and an artistry work. So no, we were not restricted. It was open to what you thought would be iconic Colorado. So that was the really objective.
So then who's judging it? They're starting to come in. Do you have a panel of judges? Is it go back out for a public vote? How did you handle? I believe you had a narrowing down where you kind of had all these entries and you started whittling them down to finalists. So how did that work and who was making those decisions?
We had a committee that was folks from within the department and a few other agencies that were the ones that did the first cut or the first vote of the submissions. And then they got that down to I think around 10 or so of each, which went to the governor. And then he got his input. And then it went out for a vote of the people. And that was another one. We weren't sure how many votes we'd get. But the numbers kept going up and kept going up. And we had a total of 55,760 votes cast for the entries to help us pick the ultimate winners. Yeah, so in Colorado, as you know, we have some of the highest peaks along the Rocky Mountains, at least the highest number of peaks in this type of geography area. And we have a lot of 14ers. So obviously mountains is a big thing. And a lot of our submissions were mountain scenes. The winner was Mount Sneffels, which is located in the San Juan Range down in southwest Colorado. It was the first choice with 47% of the vote. Second was Maroon Bells, which is a really iconic Rocky Mountain scene with 37% of the vote. And Black Canyon, which is a nice, really pretty mountain or canyon, which was 14%. The backside was Sprague Lake, which is up in the northern part of Colorado, with 35%. Then there was a Shrine Ridge Trail picture, 33%. And then, as I mentioned, the picture, the painting of bison on their plains with 30%. So strict, tough competition, some great submissions, and obviously scenery is pretty much the big thing in Colorado.
And were these the winners? Did they come from professional artists? Were they folks who were just dabbling in it? Do we know anything about who these folks are, whose work is going to appear on the card?
Yeah, that was the really cool thing to hear during the I didn't really know much about them until the media event, but we had two young men that were their photographs were selected. It was really cool to hear their story. Matt Nunez, who submitted the picture of Mount Sneffels, he's a 26-year-old, longtime resident of, I guess he's a fifth generation Colorado, originally from Colorado Springs, but lives out in the western part of the state in Glenwood Springs. Has his normal job, but he takes photography things on the side, and he really liked that part of the state and wanted to showcase some of western Colorado, and he took pictures of Mount Sneffels, and it's really a great shot. And then Gabriel Dupont, who's 19 years old, from Fort Collins area, which is north of Denver. He lives in a small town up there. And he took a picture of Sprague Lake, and he wanted to do something different. He described having actually hiked to a place where people probably wouldn't normally see the picture, and got a good shot, and said that he took many times to try and get that right perfect shot. And actually it won. So, it paid off, but really some young men that provided their talents, and they were lucky to be selected.
Well, that's great. It also sounds like, you know, with where they are, that $500 grant, you know, will really be a meaningful reward for them for having been selected.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with getting $500, right?
That's true. Deal. I don't think that's a great point. That's a great point. So as you're looking at now these images, and you're working with your vendor to make that transition, you mentioned earlier some things, of course, transition more nicely to the format of a license and certain other photographs. Have you had any challenges now as you look at using those images and how it will portray on the physical credential?
So we're going through that process now. I could probably answer your question better in a few months, as we go through and get those proofs.
Yeah.
But the pictures we've seen so far look pretty good. How they're going to look with the inks that are going to be used to get the best portrayal of the photographs that were selected on the front and the back. And then, of course, we're also working like everybody else that works on their cards when they do a card redesign, your security features and all those different other components that comprise your card. So we're working through that as well.
And were there any considerations in terms of the types of images that could or couldn't be accepted as it relates to, say, whether it's the security features or perhaps some elements in the card design standard that you want to make sure, you know, you comply with? Did that come into the thought process as you were reviewing some of these submissions?
It was not part of Iconic Colorado. It's part of the actual, the rest of the piece of the card. And I'd be guessing right now to say what things we're going to put on there, because they're under, we've still got some votes ahead of us. There's going to be some people voting on things, but we have significant wildlife out here in Colorado. So there likely will be some kind of big animal somewhere on the card. And then there'll be some of our items that relate to, the state flower or things like that will probably be somewhere on the card. And we're working through that as we work ahead. But this is nothing that other states haven't gone through. So that's the part that would be very common to other states, as they would work with their card vendor on what security features would you want to put on there and to make it your state's card. And that's what we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you mentioned earlier about the governor and the governor's office really having a vested interest and were quite interested in where these designs were going. I imagine on one hand, that's exciting that, you know, you get that kind of connection and visibility at the governor's office. On the other hand, we know that could be a little nerve-wracking for you and your team to be doing all that coordination. So how did that work out working with the governor's office, and are they happy with where this project has gone?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ian. And obviously, when you work that closely with the governor's office, a lot of sensitivities and all that type of stuff that goes with it. But we are very fortunate. We have a very talented team that was able to do good products. And we also had our former executive director, who became a special staff for the governor, who continued to spearhead this effort. And so we had a direct contact with the governor that kind of alleviated the need for scheduling events. She was able to do that quite easily. I'm sure it was challenging for her because his schedule is quite busy, obviously, but she was able to accomplish that. And the governor was excited the whole time, from the very beginning of the idea to the voting, to the actual contest. And then when we actually roll out the card next fall, I'm very confident he'll be very excited about this rollout of the new card for Colorado.
So I was going to ask you about that. It's going to take now, I guess, what, about 6-7 months before you can actually be producing and rolling them out to the public?
Yeah, and that's, I'm sure everybody's had the same experience with the development of cards. It's not really, you just don't go to Kinko's, and that might be dating myself, and then have it something printed out and then have it produced the next day. There's a lot more things that go to it, as everybody knows. And we believe that we've really worked with our vendor to really streamline the process. We're confident they've done that. And so we've given ourselves a little bit of conservativeness in our release date. But we think it's a pretty fast schedule. And then, of course, with COVID, we can't do some of the tasks. We have to do them virtually, which is also will be something unique as well.
With that fall issuance in mind, Mike, any sense of between new issuances and renewals, how long it'll take till you have a critical mass where you've got most people carrying the new design as opposed to the design that's out there now?
That's always a tough one. You wonder, is there going to be a run on the office to get the new card, which could happen, but we have online services, so we're hoping that if they're going to do a renewal, they would go that route. But typically we're on a 5-year renewal cycle. So that's where you would see the typical renewal occurring. And then of course, how many people come in the state for new cards when they first come in. But so I would say, based on our past experience, you do have a slight interest in the new card, but it wasn't overwhelming. But this one has more publicity, so maybe we might see a little bit more, which will be more revenue, obviously.
So you might get some unexpected out of cycle renewals, if you will, that will increase volume. Of course, the trade-off is, like you say, you'll get some unanticipated revenue when people wanting to renew before their time is up.
Yeah, that is possible. So we'll see what happens. I mean, but like I said, past experience said it was a slight uptick. It really wasn't that large. The only difference is now we've had a little bit more publicity, so maybe there might be more interest.
So I suppose that's also been another positive benefit of this. You've got the reaction of the artists and those that participated in the contest. And then, of course, just the general public seeing that, you know, your agency is reaching out to the public and engaging folks in a positive way. I'd imagine that has a spillover effect in terms of the brand of the agency and the positive customer sentiment around what your agency is doing.
Yeah, we think so. We think that this is a way to really kind of put a Colorado brand on something and people to be kind of say, hey, here's the car. Even though it's just a driver's license card, I mean, you're pretty much keeping your wallet or your purse. It's just a way to kind of just give some excitement and then make it more Colorado unique. And I also mentioned that our mobile driver's license or our digital driver's license, to be more accurate, with my Colorado app will also be, you know, upgraded at the time as well. So there'll be some excitement there as well. So we hope that that will also bring interest in folks maybe wanting to go to get the My Colorado app and DDL on their phones.
So Mike, before we wrap this up, one thing we know that's always at the core of AMVA is sharing lessons learned of projects, what went well, what didn't go well. Anything that sticks out to you, those top two things that you felt your team did really well and had in place that you'd want to make sure others did, or any other kind of lessons you could pass on to your colleagues who might consider a similar project?
Yeah, thanks, Ian. It's definitely good to ask about lessons learned and what are good and bad things that happened. And in our instance, to date, we've not had a lot of significant issues that I think I would say we need to do something differently. It went fairly well, but I attribute that to having a really solid communications team and a graphics member from that on that team that worked with our vendor and with our executive sponsor, which was our former executive director. Those were all critical ingredients because we had the direct connection to the governor's office through Lou, and then we had the talented team to put together the things that the products necessary to help make decisions. We were very fortunate that there was interest across the state to participate in the vote and to participate as contestants in taking pictures or providing photographs. And that, I think that's a testament to the interest out there, but also for the outreach that was done to make them aware of that. It's one of your most difficult things in government is to get the word out to the residents of your state. So you really got to be really good in getting that word out. And again, I would give our credit, kudos to our communications team for the wonderful work that they did. A lot of the other stuff is pretty much process that you've probably gone through before as you redesigned your card with your vendor. But getting input from other folks, I think, is always a good thing. The more collaboration you can get, only thing makes things better.
Well, thanks, Mike, for taking a bit of your time to talk to us about this exciting project. And I know we all wish you great luck as you continue to finish the project and roll out in the fall. To all of you, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Thanks to our producer, Claire Jeffrey. And we'll see you all the next time on the AmbaCast. Stay well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AmbaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode was brought to you by Fast Enterprises. Visit us at ambacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.